Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And, you know, God really, I was thinking about this particular portion of scripture as I was reading and studying it. And, you know, God's showed me, you know, I really want you to break down what that means, you know. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says there, it says, keep or guard or protect thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are or out of it flows the issues of life, right? And as I was thinking about that, I said, well, what really does that mean, right? So really talk about like what that means so people understand what guarding your heart really means. In the Passion Translation, it says this. It says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. It says, pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellsprings of life. It's beautiful, right? Now, in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says this, for as he thinks in his heart, or as a man or as a woman, as a person thinks in their heart, so is he, or so does he become, right? And so when I was reading the first scripture, I saw something, and it just captured me. And the word was, it says, out of the abundance of your heart are the issues of life. Now, the word issue means offspring. It means discharge, emissions, outflow, or results, outcomes, and consequences. Out of your heart flow that you birth something, right? Something is birthed from your heart. It releases from you. There and out of it, your life, the outcomes of your life begin to unfold. Does that make sense? Now, I'm going to get into this, right? The consequences of your life. Everything that happens in your life ultimately is a result from the issues that come out of your heart. Now I'm going to really get into this. I'm going to teach this today, and I want you to listen to this, because this going, I believe a word like this will transform you for the rest of your life if you receive this, all right? So today I want to speak about the importance of guarding your heart or protecting your heart. Now, I also want to explain what I actually means. Now, when I say guard your heart, I'm not talking about the organ that beats in your chest. You understand that, right? That's your natural heart, and that pumps your blood through your body, and it keeps your physical body alive. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about your spiritual heart. In your spiritual heart, it controls your emotions, your feelings, and your sentiments. Your spiritual heart. Your spiritual heart, I'm really get into some things today. But your spiritual heart is a synonym for your soul. That's what your spiritual heart is. You're a three parts being, right? You are a spirit, right? That's what you are. You are a spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit, right? And we are made after the likeness and image of God. We are also a spirit. And the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit, in truth, right? So you are a spirit. You live in a physical body, or you are housed in a physical body. And, you know, this is the home that you're living in, right? This physical body. This is not you. And that's why the Bible says, you know, that's why people say the eyes are the window of your soul. Because what happens is you are actually looking outside of yourself, just like you were looking out of windows. Like if you were to go to that window and look out of it, that's what your spirit is doing on the inside of you as it's looking outside of you. You understand? You're living in this physical body. And you know, if you mess around, you can invite other spirits to live in your physical body. Because your body can house multiple spirits. Now, of course, the only other spirit we want the inside of us is the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Now, he takes up residence. When you get born again and when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, right? He begins to take up residence on the inside of you. But you can invite a demonic spirit to live on the inside of you. You know, you start messing around, you start living in sin and playing with stuff that you shouldn't be messing with, you'll open up the door for a demonic spirit to get on the inside of you. And, you know, God showed me something about that. You know, so remember when Jesus went over and he prayed for that, he cast the devil out of the demoniac. Come on up here, Solomon, sit right there next to Pastor Tanya. So there was a demoniac man, right? And, you know, Jesus started casting the devil out of this guy. And I mean, he ain't. The devil, think about this. The devil ain't moving. And so when Jesus comes up, he says, what's your name? Because I mean, because Jesus was rebuking him, he's staying in that body. He said, what's your name? He said, Legion, because we are many. Now, you know, a legion can be up to 2,000 soldiers. Now, here you got, this guy got 2,000 devils on the inside of him. I mean, you know, he is occupied by it. And that's why he was going crazy. And that's why he was cutting himself and he was breaking chains. He's full of demonic power. He got all these devils on the inside of him. And you can open up yourself for that to happen. So, you know, that's not my message, but I want you to understand what I'm talking about. Right. So you have you are a spirit. You are housed in this physical body. But then what I want to talk to you about today is that you possess a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so your soul, again, is a synonym for your heart. So now you have the two parts of you is at war with one another. Your spirit and your flesh, right? They are at battle with one another. The spirit wants to serve the Lord. The born-again spirit, right? Your flesh wants to live like the devil. It is made from the dirt dust of this earth, and the devil is the little g god of this world, right? So your flesh is in cahoots with the devil, and so that's why you want to do things that are not pleasing to God in the flesh. Your spirit is trying to say no. The flesh wants it. Anything that's against God, the flesh wants. And that's why you're constantly at war. And you will never be able to be released from that. Or in other words, your flesh will never willingly submit to the will of God. You must force it to obey. So you got to tell the flesh, no, we're not doing that. Because it will never stop wanting to do that, whatever that is. Whether it's fornicate or commit adultery or, you know, mess around with drugs and alcohol. Your flesh wants that stuff. And your spirit is saying no, and your flesh is saying yes. Now, what I want to get to is the part of you that is the swing vote is your soul. Your soul ultimately will side with either one. And whichever side the soul sides with will determine what you're going to do. If your soul sides with your spirit, you'll do the things of God. But if it sides with your flesh, you'll do things in the flesh. You guys getting something so far? Now, again, your spiritual heart, again, is a synonym for your soul. So when the Bible says guard your heart, it's really saying guard or protect your soul. You have to, because if you don't protect your soul, you'll live like the devil. Or you'll do things that are uncharacteristic or that's not right or against anything that God says. So you have to protect and guard your heart. Now, let me get a little deeper into this. So the Bible says, again, that your heart or your soul must be guarded or protected with all diligence or with the greatest effort, because your heart affects all that you are on the inside and begins to release it on the outside. So you have to protect what's coming on the inside of your soul. So I'm going to give you a couple of things and then I'll get into some stuff. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically. Listen to this. Even as your soul prospers. So you will never be able, the reason why I want to bring this up today is because you will never be able to, I'm not just talking about money. You will never be able to prosper or experience any kind of real success in your life if your soul doesn't first. If you're not prospering in your soul, your heart, right? The center of you. If you're not prospering there, you'll never prosper on the outside. And again, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about in any type of area of your life. Financially, relationally, right? If your soul is messed up, you'll never have a healthy relationship. If you're not healthy in your soul, you'll never have a healthy relationship. You'll never do well, you know, in life or in your job, wherever. If your soul is damaged, that's going to come out of you. If you got a nasty soul, nastiness is going to come out of you. I know it's real quiet in here, but I'm teaching you something today. So let's get into a little bit more about the soul. So in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground." And here he is. He's clay. It's just like if you took a piece of Play-Doh and you shaped a man out of it. That's all man was. He was just probably like 6 foot tall, a piece of clay, right, that God formed. He ain't got nothing. There's nothing but a lifeless thing standing before God. He formed man from the dust of the ground. And the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Or man became aware of himself. He went, whoa. He started looking around like, wow, you know. Because before he was just a piece of clay. Then God breathed into him, and he became aware of himself. Whoa, looking around like, looking outside of himself. Because he was just, again, just flesh. That comes on the inside. Now he's looking outside of himself, seeing this physical world that he's about to now be in charge of. So again, when God created man, you know, he was just a piece of clay. But when God breathed into him the breath of life, he became a living soul or aware of himself. And I put here, your soul is where you identify with yourself and your surroundings. Okay? Now, as I mentioned, your soul consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind is where you think, reason, and process information. Your mind is the most sophisticated computer ever created. It can solve the most amazing problems, you know. Your will is where you express desire for something and consent to do or not do something. Your will. And then your emotions is how you feel about things or how you perceive what's happening to you and around you. Does that make sense? That's the breakdown of your soul. So in your mind, you think on, you reason, you process information. Now, once you process that information, your emotions break down how you feel about that information that you just received. And then your will determines what you're going to do with that information. So now somebody cuts you off on the parkway. And now that goes through your mind. You start thinking about and processing that information. And then your emotions determine how you feel about what happened to you. And then in your will, you determine whether or not you're going to curse that person out, chase them down on the parkway. Cut them off too, or whatever, you know. That's your will. So again, everything that happens on the outside of you, it begins on the inside. With how you think on and process information, how you handle that information, and how you feel about that information that you're receiving, and then what you're going to do about it. Does that make sense? Are you getting something out of this? So to simplify this concept, we can break the soul down to I think, I want, I feel. Okay? You see, your soul doesn't tell you what God thinks. It tells you what you think. Your soul doesn't tell you how God feels. It tells you how you feel. And your soul doesn't tell you what God wants. It tells you what you want. Because you're identifying, your soul is that you're identifying with yourself. How do I think about that situation? How do I feel about it? And what am I going to do about it? See, if you don't understand this about yourself, you'll wonder why you do certain things. It's how you're receiving that information, how you are processing it, how you feel about it, and then what you're going to do about it. That's why, you know, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, I don't want to go to the cross. If there's any other kind of way, let's do it that way. And he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. See, he had to submit his will to the will of God. He didn't want to do it. If it was up to him, if he said, well, whatever you want to do, he'd be like, well, I ain't doing it. You know, so he had to submit his will to the will of the Father. Same thing with us, right? When we're battling with a situation, right, we have our own thoughts. We have our own feelings about, and we have our own things that we want to do as a result of that information that we received. But that has to then be submitted to the will of God, because if it's not, then you'll do what you feel like doing as opposed to what the will of the Lord is for your life. All right, you guys are looking at me like, what's he talking about? You guys getting something? So your soul is where, again, that you identify with yourself, with people and your surroundings. Now, to take that a step further, what you think, want, and feel are the stimuli that's either propelling you forward or stopping you from making forward progress in your life. If your soul is damaged or sick with discouragement, depression, rejection, resentment, low self-esteem, etc., you will find it extremely difficult to make any kind of real progress in your life. Now we're going to talk a little bit about how you go through that process of protecting yourself. And then we'll talk about a little bit later how you begin to go through the process of healing. You guys ready for this? Okay, so the first thing that has to happen, right? We said the soul consists of my mind, right? So if it begins with my mind, then I have to guard what's coming into my mind. Do you know that you don't have to just let anything into your mind? Do you know that your mind has been given to you to serve you and not rule you? See, most people are ruled by their minds. They can't control their thoughts. And because they can't control their thoughts, they can't control what happens in their life. They can't control themselves. Some people let information come into their minds, and then because they can't control it, it begins to dominate and rule their actions. So the first place that you have to protect your soul from is you got to protect your mind. In 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See, the first thing you need to understand is that this is not a battle that we're fighting in the flesh. The devil is not fighting a fleshly battle with you. He don't have flesh. You do. Now, he attacks your flesh, but this battle is not in the flesh. And if you try to fight it in the flesh, you're going to lose every time. See, the devil may use people in the flesh to come against you and your flesh, but you have to make a determination. You have to understand that this is a spirit that's at work. This is not, my battle is not with this person, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, right? So we are fighting or wrestling against spirits without bodies. They're looking for bodies to inhabit so that they can use those people to come against you. But it's not those people. It's the spirit behind them. So for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not natural weapons, right? You can't kick the devil. You can't slap the devil, right? You can't shoot the devil. You can't stab the devil. If you try to stab somebody that got the devil in them, he'll just get in somebody else. You know, so you're not fighting a natural battle. Our weapons are not carnal. But the Bible says, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And a stronghold is like a brick wall that's built in your mind that is protecting itself from the word of God penetrating it. It is protecting your belief system. And anytime something contradicts your belief system, that's why you get defensive. It's the stronghold. The stronghold is fighting back against whatever information is coming against it. I don't believe that. You know, because you're fighting against truth. And that's why the Bible says the word of God is like a hammer. And that's because it has to hammer those strongholds and those false belief systems until they're broken down. And that's why you'll hear me say things many different times, because what I'm trying, what God is trying to do is break down those false belief systems. And mind you, we have those belief systems based upon how we grew up, where we grew up, our families, right? Everything that we've learned or seen or experienced over the course of our life. That's how we form these strongholds and these belief systems. What we see around us, right? If you think about it, like how you grow up affects you so much. I remember when I was younger, I was about maybe like 14, 15 years old, and we went to Florida, right? Most of my family lives in Florida. So people start, you know, hi, how are you? I'm like, what's wrong with this guy, man? And I'm thinking in my mind, what are you looking at? Like you know, like I'm from here. Like I'm from, you know, I grew up in Orange, and I've been in Irvington, North Carolina. So when somebody look at you, like, what are you looking at, man? Like you know, you see that's the way I was brought up. It got me on the defensive. These people just trying to be nice. I'm thinking something going on with this dude, man. Like, what's wrong with him? Like, all these people saying hi and how you doing and stuff like that. Why are people speaking to you like it's a completely different world? It's how they were brought up. And I'm affecting how I was brought up. I remember going to New York for the first time. We went uptown and I'm walking, man. This old woman bumped into me and she didn't turn around and look at me. Not even like, sorry or nothing. Just boom, kept on moving. I was like, wow, there's an old lady bumped into me. I'm in a different world now. Like I'm in a different world over here. You know, so your belief systems, what you think about things, how you feel about things, right? They start with how you were raised, and you know whether you like certain things, whether you don't like certain things, whether you like certain types of people or colors of people. You know that stuff is created or started or built in your environment or in the place that you were brought up in, the house, everything. It starts developing that belief system. Now you come into Christianity, and now everything that you've learned for 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, whatever, is being combated. It's coming again. What? I should love my enemies? What? No, I need to punch them in their mouth. Now what are you talking about? Love my enemies. You know, it's and now the word of God has to begin to work on you to break up that belief system. Let me stay focused on this. I there's no way I'm gonna finish this because I got so much I need to say. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal; they're not natural weapons, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Right. These strongholds have to be broken down, because if they're not, the word of God will never be able to penetrate the way that it's. You know when the word of God is penetrating, because you hear it and it's like the first time you heard it, like, whoa. But you probably heard that same word 1,000 times. Finally, it penetrated. And now faith can come alive in you. Because the word is nothing unless faith is able to come alive in you. until you believe what you heard and you begin to use it. If you have thought you were nothing all your life, and here I am telling you, you know, you're more than a conqueror. You know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you and all that stuff. You know, you hear that. You hear it. And I tell you, you're blessed and you can't be cursed. You hear it. But until that stronghold comes down, you don't believe it. And I've learned with strongholds, see, you can knock down one area and one area still be standing. And so you're constantly trying to break down those walls of offense, those walls that are holding the word of God from penetrating through. So the strongholds have to come down. They say casting down imaginations or images that come into your mind. Casting those things down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So anything, any kind of false knowledge that tries to come to you that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, any kind of belief system that is trying to take the place of the word of God in your life, the Bible says you have to cast those things down. Because false information will always try to come into you. Well, you just need to do this. You need that person talk to you like that. You see that it's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of, you know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. What is trying to happen is it's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God or the knowledge that you have of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So like I said to you, we are the gatekeepers of what comes into our mind. You know, the devil comes to you with a crazy thought. He comes to knock on the door of your mind. And you determine what thoughts you let in and what thoughts you keep out. The Bible says to bring into captivity. That means to capture every thought and to bring it into the obedience of Christ. So you just can't just let thoughts just run wild in your mind and you just sit there and you just think on those thoughts. Eventually, if you think on those things long enough, they get on the inside of you. So the first thing you got to realize is that you're in a spiritual battle for the possession of your soul. And it all starts with your mind and your thought life, because the battleground for your soul is in the mind. That's why the Bible says that we have to pull down these strongholds. We have to cast down these imaginations. You see, again, the devil, he wants to gain access to your mind, because if he can gain access to your mind, he can get to your heart or to your soul. That's how he gets in. He wants to get in through the mind. Your thought life is an access point for your heart or your soul. Whatever you think on long enough will begin to seep into your heart. Once it's in your heart, you'll begin to speak about it, because your heart is connected to your mouth. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a whole, the devil's not stupid. The devil understands that he can't stop you. He can't curse you. But what he can do is he can influence you. He can sell you lies. And if you believe them, then you'll begin to speak them. And by doing so, you'll curse yourself. He don't have to curse you if you curse yourself. All right. The end or the final result is that you will start acting on those thoughts. You know that murder begins with a thought. Just one thought that goes unchecked. Some of these boys on the street, somebody did something, whatever, and then that thought came into their mind. How can they do? You let that person do that to you? Devil started talking to him. You let that person do that, say that to you? They disrespected you. You can't let that go by, you know? You should kill him. And if he meditate on that thought long enough and don't deal with that thought properly, he'll do it. It don't just happen. It's a progression. Suicide begins with a thought. Nobody just kills themselves. You know, it starts off with, you know, nobody loves you. You know, you're nobody, you're nothing. Life would be better for other people if you weren't here. It's a progression, man. The devil just don't say kill yourself. He gives them all of that first, and then finally he says, you should just kill yourself. People would be better off. And if they keep thinking on that long enough, you know, eventually they'll do it. All right. I know this ain't no shouting and swinging from the chandelier message. Ain't nobody gonna get happy today. But if you receive this, you'll get helped and blessed. Everything, adultery, fornication, begins with a thought that goes unchecked, that you don't bring into captivity. I'm not doing that. Devil, I break your power against me. I'm not going to do that. Just a thought. One imagination is not cast down and brought to the obedience of Christ. Can it lead you to doing something that you'll regret for the rest of your life? All right. With that being said, the best way to guard your heart is to guard and protect your thoughts. Negative, doubtful, fearful, and evil thoughts pollute and poison your heart. You must therefore guard your thoughts so you can protect your heart. The best way to guard your thoughts is to guard your eyes and your ears. You hear that? Your eyes and your ears are like funnels that fill your heart. Again, whatever your heart is filled with will begin to come out of your mouth and show up in your actions. So if your heart is full of hate, you'll be mean, nasty, angry, and an evil person. But if your heart is full of the word of God, you'll begin to do the commandments of God or keep the commandments of God. Amen. So it's all about what you're filling yourself up with. What are you filling yourself up with? Or what are you allowing to go into your eyes and into your ears? Whatever you allow to go into your eyes and ears more will be the thing that will begin to dominate your life. You can't fill yourself with junk and then think that good stuff is going to come out of you. Junk in, junk out. Like somebody said, if it ain't in a pot, it can't be stirred. Whatever's on the inside of you is going to come out of you. So you keep watching the wrong things, you keep listening to the wrong stuff. That's going to fill your heart. You're going to be speaking it, and you're going to be living it. All right. So guard your eyes. In Psalms 101, verses 1 through 3, it says, this is the Psalm of David. He says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. I will sing. I will behave myself wisely and in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I'll set no wicked thing in front of my eyes. You want to have wickedness growing on the inside of you? Keep watching wicked things. One of the access points or the gates that the devil will try to gain access to your mind and to your heart is through your eyes. That's why you ought to be very careful about what you're looking at. Your eyes are vitally connected to your mind. Whatever you see creates images and thoughts. And these images can lodge themselves in your memory banks and become strongholds to you, because whatever you look at constantly will begin to grow on the inside of you. This principle can work for you or against you. If you're looking at the right things, it can help you focus on achieving those things. But if you're looking at the wrong images, you can give the devil a place and you can have destruction growing on the inside of you. These thoughts can eventually become words and actions. Again, the devil's whole purpose for trying to penetrate you is so that he can begin to work through you. The devil wants to use you. He needs a body. He can't do what he wants to do. He cannot touch this physical world because he's a spirit. So he needs a physical body to operate through. So if he can get into your mind and have you think the wrong thoughts, eventually he can get you to do what he wants you to do. And then he can touch this world through you. When he told that, when I told that story about, you know, the boy that killed somebody, see, he wants to get into that little boy so that he can go and kill another boy. Now he's able to touch this world through that boy because he didn't guard his mind. All right. Powerful thing about your mind is it has power to store images in your long-term memory for a lifetime. Right now you can remember songs that you learned 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Most of you don't know your ABCs, you know the song. You can't remember, unless you sing the song, you can't remember your That's how powerful your mind is. That's how much influence it wields over you. With that being said, if the devil can penetrate you through your eyes with an image, he can haunt you with it and torment you with it for a lifetime. You know, a lot of people come back over, you know, from war, messed up. They can't get the images out of their mind. They saw people get murdered, death. They saw people get blown up. And they come back, they just can't get those images out their mind. They're haunted by those images. You know, if the devil can penetrate you, I mean, he'll haunt you for a lifetime. You know, people will lose their short-term memory and still remember things that happened. Like, you ever saw somebody with dementia or something like that? Like, they don't remember what happened 5 seconds ago, but they remember what happened 30 years ago. It's amazing. All right, I'm really trying to get through this. It's hard because I got so much to say. With that being said, you got to control what comes into your mind through your eyes. Like David said, I'll set no wicked things in front of my eyes. You therefore have the ability and the responsibility of turning things off that are trying to penetrate you through your eyes. All right. So you got to protect what's coming into your eyes. You want to protect your mind? It starts with protecting your eyes. Number two, you got to guard your ears. Job 12:11, he says this, is it not the task of the ear to discriminate between wise and unwise words? Just as the mouth distinguishes between desirable and undesirable food. That's something, is that powerful or what? In Job chapter 34, verses 1-4, it says, Elihu answered and said, hear my words, you wise men, and give ear to me. You who have so much knowledge, for the ear tries or puts to the test or proves your words as the palate or as your taste buds taste or test or tries your food. And he says, let us choose for ourselves that which is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good. That powerful or what? We shouldn't be allowing people or listening to things that is dumping trash on the inside of us. It's what a powerful scripture. Your ears, they are supposed to, when they're listening to something, somebody starts talking to you, or you're listening to something on TV or whatever, and something starts playing, your ears are supposed to taste those words like your mouth tastes your food. See, when you put something in your mouth and it's nasty, you don't keep chewing it. You spit it out, right? You don't keep chewing and eating something that's nasty, right? Your ears are supposed to do the same thing. They're supposed to taste those words and say, that's nasty, I'm not eating that, and spit it out. I don't want to hear that junk. So I hear somebody talking trash to you and stuff like that and telling you, oh, you know, how are you going to do that? You're not going to make it. I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't hear that trash. It's supposed to spit it out, just like your mouth spits out nasty food. You're listening to all of this fear on the TV and radio and stuff like that and all this cursing and horrible. You know, your ears are tasting that. And it's supposed to spit it out if it ain't right. Why? Because it's an access point. He tries to penetrate you through your eyes and through your ears. That's how it gets to your mind. What you're hearing is creating thoughts. What you're looking at is producing images that are creating thoughts. And if you meditate on that long enough, it'll get on the inside of you. And people wonder, why am I cursing? Because it's all the inside of you. If it ain't in you, it can't come out of you. You're cursing because you got all them curses on the inside of you. All right. So again, our ears are supposed to try or taste words, just like our tongue tastes or tries food. Again, when you put something nasty in your mouth, the normal reaction is to just spit it out and to not accept another forkful. Your tongue tells you not to swallow nasty stuff. It's disgusting. That's what your ears are supposed to do with foolish, dirty, nasty, and unwise words that come out of people's mouths. It's supposed to taste it. And if it's nasty, spit it out. And then close your ears to further. You don't take another, I don't want to take another fork full of it. Right? I don't want to hear that stuff. That's enough. I don't want to hear that. You got to be careful what goes into your ears. Listen to this. Mark chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. This is what Jesus said. He said, if a man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, listen to this. Be careful what you're hearing. This is Jesus. Listen to this. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be measured of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Same things happens if you're listening to trash. Whatever the measure you give to what you're hearing will be measured back to you. It'll come back to you. So you keep listening to trash. Keep filling yourself with that stuff. And he says, for to him who has, more will be given. And from him who has nothing, even that what he has will be taken away. So in this passage, Jesus says to be careful about what you're hearing or what you're allowing to go into your ears. He then explains that with the amount of thought you give to what you're listening to will be the degree that what you're hearing will be able to influence you or have influence over you. That's why you must be careful about what you're listening to and what you're giving your attention to. Remember, Eve listened to the lies of the devil. As a result, she gave the devil an entry place into her mind. And he, as a result, was able to deceive her. The devil starts talking to you. Stop listening to him. Stop talking back. That's the first thing you do. Stop talking back. Stop. If you're going to talk back with a rebuke. Don't have conversations with the devil. Rebuke him and send him packing. Because she had a conversation with the devil was able to deceive her. Because she lends her ears to the wrong individual. As a result, it caused Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, and the entire planet was plunged into sin. Why? Because she wasn't careful about what she was hearing and what she was listening to. Can't give the devil a place by allowing him to talk to you. Stop having those conversations with the enemy. Oh, you should slap her. Well, if I slap her, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, stop having conversations with the devil. Break his power, cancel his assignment, send him packing. Can you say amen? Stop having those conversations. Stop lending your ears to the enemy. That's why I can't stand. When I get on the phone, people, I can't, I can't, I just can't deal with sob stories, man. It drives me crazy. I don't want to hear trash. You want to pray or what? You know what I'm saying? All right, I get it. Life is hard. You want to pray? You know, I'm not going to sit on the phone and just talk about hard lives. Everybody got challenges. You want to pray or what? I won't hear no trash. All right. With that being said, see, that's how he pollutes your heart. Images, words. He begins to put all that stuff on the inside of you, and it begins to pollute your heart, your soul, and starts affecting what you think and how you feel about things. And you think about it. People were polluted with all of this, all the stuff about COVID. Man, people were in fear. They wouldn't even leave their house. They were so in fear. I mean, it was such a spread. I mean, it was across the whole world. The whole world was plunging to fear. You're right about that. That's exactly right. The whole world, man, it's crazy. You know, but if the devil can get into your ears. Talk about fear. You know, when they went out to war, God told them, he said, this is how you're going to choose people that go out to your in your army. He says, first of all, anybody, you know, who has just married a wife or whatever, you know, send him home, you know. And those that, you know, have just built a house, you know, didn't live in it, send them home, right? Those that planted a vineyard, didn't eat the fruit of it, send them home. Then the last group, those that are in fear, send them home. This is the only reason why he gave an excuse. He says, because their fear, they'll begin to communicate that fear and it'll spread to the rest of the people in the army. Have you ever talked to somebody on the phone and they start talking this fear stuff and you start feeling fear? You know why? Because fear is a spirit. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is not just an emotion. It's a spirit. It has a personality. And it can be released. And people start talking fear around you, that thing will come in your house. And you'll start being in fear. You don't even know why. Something you ain't never feared before. You'll be in fear of it. So you can't let those things go on the inside of you. If you do, again, you pollute your heart. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 35. Jesus says to them, he says, you brutal vipers. Jesus, something else. You brutal vipers. He said, how can you speak good things when you're evil? You can't speak good stuff if you're evil. He says, for the mouth speaks out of which fills the heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to speak. You're evil on the inside. You can't speak good things. You're going to be speaking evil stuff. You're polluted with evil. He calls them a brood of vipers, man. Like, you know, you got poison on the inside of you. Like a viper, man. You got poison. You can't speak good things because you're full of deadly poison. You got evil on the inside of you. For the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. The good man from the inner good treasure brings out good things. And the evil man from his inner evil treasure brings out evil things. You can only pull out of a treasure box what's in it. In Psalms chapter 17, verse 3, it says, you have proved my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing, no evil purpose in me. Listen to this. I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. The only way that you can make sure your mouth doesn't transgress or speak wrong things is found in those verses that were before it. He says, you have tried me and you found nothing in me, no evil purpose in me. That's the only reason. See, I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. My mouth can only transgress if I got evil on the inside of me. But you've tried me. You don't find nothing evil in me. I kept myself clean from that. If you keep yourself clean from that, it ain't going to come out. I like that. The psalmist states that he purposed that his mouth shall not transgress or go beyond his moral principle. And the only way to accomplish this is by making sure that your heart stays clean. Because again, you'll speak out of the overflow of the substance of your heart. Again, your heart represents the seat of your affections. It is the very center of your being. It controls your words and your actions. And that's why the scripture states that your heart must be guarded with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. You have to guard and protect your heart from pollution and from poisons that try to contaminate it. If you don't, your mouth will release what's in your heart. And then you'll have to live with the consequences. Keep your heart pure and your words will stay pure. Why is that important? I'm going to get ready to close. Proverbs 18, 21, 20 and 21. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Or in other words, whatever you speak, you'll have to eat. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I love the Good News translation and how it puts it. It says, you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. Are you seeing now why the devil wants to get on the inside of you? He wants to contaminate you with poison in your soul so that you will in turn speak it and release poison over your life. He wants to fill you with evil thoughts. He wants to fill you with fearful thoughts, right? He wants to poison you with rejection. You know, he wants to put all of that stuff in you, because if he can get it in you, you'll begin to talk out of that and you'll begin to live out of that. And then with your words, you'll begin to create the world that you're living in. If you don't like the world you're living in right now, it is a product of your words and your actions, not the evilness of the devil. Because people want to blame the devil for putting them in places. The devil ain't put you no place. You place yourself there. Now, he can influence, you know, he can try to sell you lies and stuff like that, but he cannot put you from here to there. He can't. That's your responsibility. And God has given us his word and his spirit and the name of Jesus so that we can begin to create the world that we're living in. And see, the devil wants to get on the inside of you so he can poison you so that you can speak out of that and then begin to create the world that you're living in. So that's why you have to protect your heart. See, I wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty of it. Like, what does that mean? Guard, protect your heart, guard your heart. What does that mean, right? The reason why that's important is because you're living the life right now out of whatever has been in your heart. You have created the life right now that you're living. If you like it, that's great. But if you don't, that's the reason why. What you're speaking and what you're doing. Your words and your actions. They are the offspring of what's in your heart. If it's polluted, you're living out of that. You're living that right now. And this is a sobering word because it makes us think about, okay, what's going on in the inside of us? We need to start dealing with those issues. Because if we don't, we're going to wind up being in the same place 5 years from now that you are right now. And if you're happy with that, that's okay. But even me, I'm enjoying the life that I live right now, but I want to go further, which means that there's still some stuff that need to come down. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to go further. I don't want to just stay stagnant for the next 10, 15. I want to go further, which means I got stuff I need to deal with as well. That's why I said, you know, strongholds, the way they work, you can knock down a portion of the wall and still have other portions standing. And you got to keep banging on it with the word of God until it comes down. And then you deal with that section, and then you move to another section. And you got to tear that down. And you deal with that. Some people, you know, they do well financially, but they can't, their relationships are horrible. So this is clear, but I got a problem with dealing with people. And choosing the right people and handling relationships well once I get into them. I'm living out of what happened to me in the last relationship, and I'm projecting that on the new person. And because of that, I'm running this person away. All right, you know, I'm touching some things, but it's true. And so those areas that got to be torn down so that you can have healthy relationships. You know, I was studying because, you know, I'm a certified credit counselor, right? And in credit counseling, they use the solution focus methodology, right? Which is very similar to the one that my wife uses as a counselor, right? And it breaks, so more credit counseling is not as much about the credit itself, but more about how you deal with people that are experiencing these issues. It's counseling. You really are counseling. You know, how you're talking to them about their money. Because it's one of the most sensitive topics to discuss. Because people become, you know, they're frustrated, you know, because of their financial situation. Some people are embarrassed about their financial situation. So it talks about, you know, never be judgmental. You know, it talks about the different ways to talk to people about their money so that they don't, you know, they don't shut down on you. But I said that to say this. Even money is psychological. Even the way that you handle money is psychological. Some people, they go on a binge shopping because of something that happens to them emotionally. They experience some kind of rejection, or they'll do revenge shopping. In other words, they'll get into an argument with their mate, and they'll take their mate money, go spend their mate money, right? So they're revenge shopping. So it's like all these, so all of it's psychological, right? It's like, it's more than just, oh, you got to stop spending money. It's more than that. It's a reason why they're spending the money. And you got to get down to that before you can even talk about anything else. So in other words, it's something, that's why I said it's all about the soul. Guarding and protecting your heart. Because out of it flow the issues of life. Even how I spend my money is based upon how I feel about things. It's crazy. It's amazing, though. And so I'm not done, not even close. Because I'm going to get into guarding your heart from rejection and betrayal. I mean, because it's important, right? How you deal with rejection. How do you deal with betrayal? Because it will affect every other relationship. It could affect every other relationship you have going forward. And that's why a lot of people can never have a healthy relationship, because they don't deal with that, the rejection and the betrayal. And they live a life not able to ever have a healthy relationship. Saved. Love Jesus. Doing well in other areas. But this area right here. All right, I got to close. But I'm going to get into it. I'm not going to rush through it. I'm going to take my time because I think this is an important message. Can you say amen? I think this is an important message. Amen. Amen. So we're going to close, but lift your hands to the Lord. We're going to get ready to close here. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We worship you. Father, I believe this word was such a needed word. We needed this. Everybody here, myself included, everybody, we all need this. Because we all have areas, strongholds that need to come down. Even if a partial wall is still standing, that still needs to come down. It needs to be, every brick has to be removed so that we can fully open up ourselves to you. Some of us can't even receive you the way we should receive you because we got strongholds. We try to relate to you the way our natural father treated us. And if our natural father didn't do us well, we relate to you that way. And we can't, some of us can't trust you because so many people have broken our trust. So these things need to come down. We need to guard and protect our hearts. We need to get all of the mess out of us so that we can receive you properly. Because it is only through that that we'll be able to walk in the fullness of what you have for us. Some of us are just not walking in the fullness that you've promised us because we have those strongholds that are blocking us from receiving everything you have for us. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that with this message, you'll begin to tear down strongholds. You'll begin to break the power of the enemy and cancel his assignment against us. Bring down those walls of opposition that are standing in our way, that are blocking us from your best. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for each and every person that is here today, that is watching online, everybody that is tuned in. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for those strongholds to come down, for those walls of opposition to be broken up and broken down and cleared away, so that we can be open wide to receive everything that you have to say and do in our lives. And Father, for we just want to say thank you. We bless you. God, we give you all the praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now listen, if you're here this morning, you're watching online, you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus, so you're backslidden, you know you are, and you just want to get it right with God, if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus. If you're here, you can stand up on your feet. If you're backslidden, stand up on your feet. We're not going to embarrass you. Just going to pray for you. Those who's watching online, you can do the same. We just want to pray for you and give you an opportunity to get right with God. Hallelujah. So if that's you, I want everybody here. If you just say this simple prayer after me, I want you to say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that you died for my sins and you rose from the dead to make me right with God. Now, Heavenly Father, I accept the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Come into my heart, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, come on, let's just give Jesus a praise. Amen, 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 amen.